May never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden, exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
And ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No. Because I'm going to get him.
Right here on the Global Star Radio Network. That's Global Star Radio Network, the place to be. As a matter of fact, Global Star Radio Network carries Dave Hodges, carries Russ Dizdar, Ted Brewer, and us. So we are in good company. We're actually humbled to be a part of that lineup. We're simulcast as well on BTR, Blog Talk Radio, and you can watch us live. Folks, you're doing it right now. Watch us live right here on YouTube, on our own YouTube channel. Links to each audio and video broadcasting venue can be found at our home base at the, on the internet at HagmanandHagman.com. I wanted to say thank you to Joe Charles. You know the music that you hear coming into the program? And that wonderful commercial. Well, let me just back up here. The music that you hear during the breaks and such. Joe Charles, the music by Joe Charles, my goodness, he's just such a talented man. And the the graphics and what you see between J.D. Hopwood, Neptune Diaries, and as well as Eric the Tech, those two, my goodness, what a team. And I just want to say thank you to all the people out there who are listening tonight, and thank you so much for that great commercial that Joe Charles did, promotion for my book, Stained by Blood. And I, real quick, before I bring anyone else on, I just want to thank everyone who has written to me, who received that book, and has written to me with their comments. Thank you so very much for your kind comments. You know, that was a very, and I just want to, I want to make a distinction here a little bit. That was 30 years ago when this happened, when I conducted this investigation, and I was no model Christian at the time. And there are some, you know, you read about it, or you read the book, and there's a curse word here and there, okay? It's, believe me, I kept it to a PG level, when in fact it probably, well, in real life it was much different. But I just want to say thank you to the people who understand that, you know, before I became saved and a committed Christian, I lived my life differently. I used to drink at bars, and I mean, it was just, you know, like that. So I don't do that anymore. So I'm exposing my frailties through this book.
You know, having a beer at a bar during a sting operation does not count as having a beer.
No, I get that, but you know, it just seems like you know, my goodness, you just, you know, it was, you know, but it was a cathartic experience for me to write this book, and I don't want to take too much more time. I just want to say thank you to everyone who has purchased it through Amazon and read it, and the comments, and you know what, if you read it and if you want to leave an honest comment at Amazon, that'd be great, or tell others about it. But thank you so much to each and every one of you. Thank you for your emails, because that was a kind of a painful time in my life, and so I exposed a lot there. So, anyway. But welcome to Nice Broadcast. And, of course, I'm Doug Hagman at the helm with my son, Joe Hagman. Together, we are the Hagman Report. We got a great show for you. I don't want to eat too much more into our guest's time. I do want to mention that portions of Nice Broadcast brought to you by Whole Tones Live. WholeTonesLive.com. More on that later. But right now, Joe, let's bring on our guest.
Yeah, the host of The Common Sense Show, heard here on Global Star Radio Network, as you said. And I chuckled when you listed the lineup, because the first thought that went through my mind is, well, they're not going to be on the air, the satellite company, with the host like that. But no, Dave is a great investigative journalist, radio show host, and writer. And he is joining us tonight to talk about a number of things. We see, you know, the continuation of the intensity in news and the agenda ramping up. And we see the disinformation increasing. We see the response emotionally from humans, positive or negative, increasing. And we seem to be reaching a tipping point, or the climax, so to speak, before the big boom. Hmm. What do you have to say about that, Dave?
Dave Hodges.
Well, it is indeed going to be a big boom. Hey, I got a big boom for you before we get started, guys. Dave Hodges joined the 21st century. I got a YouTube channel.
Oh, tell us about it, brother.
Well, after years of being mired in technological ignorance, I finally relied on my 15-year-old son. And I said, son, I have rewards. I have resources you don't at your young, tender age. Create me a YouTube channel. And he did. And he did a terrific job. So just a few days ago, we began putting everything up. So if you just put in, actually, I have an article on it that's in the carousel on the website of thecommonsenseshow.com. And it tells you how to get there. It gives you the link. And you can go there. And I'd appreciate it if you'd go up there. And it's going to serve as our archives. I got to get with some more technical people, though, to figure out how you broadcast live, et cetera, et cetera. But I'm slowly but surely, you know, leaving the gin lanterns behind and entering the 21st century with modern technology, and I think it's going to make it a whole lot easier for my audience to follow me.
Beautiful, man. I'll tell you, there's nothing like a YouTube channel to get your to get your visuals across, and we're going to help you any way we can. So go to thecommonsenseshow.com, and all the information's right there, right?
Right there in the carousel, and it's announcing the endeavor, and so we're really excited. And that's not the last of the technological changes, but I don't want to mention too much to get ahead of myself, because I put pressure on myself to finish. God knows, as he's my witness, guys, we have so much going on right now. I don't know whether up is down or down or is up, or if it's Monday, Friday, Saturday, or upside down night, Sunday. There's so much going on right now, it's hard to keep everything straight.
It is, and it's getting more and more difficult. We, folks, Dave Hodges has done so much with respect to his investigations, and especially about the social media, mind control, DARPA. Now, I know Joe has done a lot of work, and you and I spoke, Dave, this past weekend about, or the last week more accurately, about your findings regarding DARPA, mind control, the military side of things. Well, Joe, unbeknownst to you, Joe is doing the civilian side. You are doing the military side. I feel at this point like I'm just going to sit back and let you guys talk, because, man, your findings with you did an article last week, and folks, go to thecommonsenseshow.com, and you've got to take a look at what Dave Hodges has in fact uncovered, and of course what he will uncover tonight in his expose. And if that doesn't get you going to the Common Sense Show almost on a daily basis, and I don't know what will, but how do you want to start out with this, brother? I mean, this is like this is huge thing. You found some incredible.
Yeah, we got
stuff.
Carousel of topics. There's no question about that. But the mind control is a good place to start, because they're ramping it up to levels that I didn't even know existed. I've known about the Jose Delgado work going back to the early 1960s, and what we see is, if you beam people with electronic frequencies, you can change their mood. It's old technology. People can see Jose Delgado's 1961 bullfight, in which he controlled the bull through remote control electronic frequencies. technology is almost 60 years old. God knows how far it's gone, but we know now they're even taking it to a higher level. The White House has a brain mapping project in which they're not just using electronic frequencies now to manipulate behavior. They're doing signal implantation into the cell membrane of a person, and this is where you could originate thought. This is where you could block honest reaction to an extra, an outside stimulus. The technology, the fact that it can penetrate to the membrane level is incredible. And in the article that I wrote, I take up about a page with the cover of the project manual because it tells you who's involved. And this is where it gets scary. What are going to be the transducent agents? In other words, how are they going to send these signals into the cell membrane and be able to control your thought at the origination point? And if you look at the cast of characters they have in there, it gives you a pretty good hint. Of course, DARPA is involved. You would expect that. But what really caught my eye, and Joe, I'm sure it caught your eye too, is the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration. I've been hearing rumors for years, and I think at this point we still have to consider this at some level to be a rumor, although the evidence trail circumstantially is growing warm. But I heard for years that they could attach these particular invasive molecules that can get into the cell membrane through the food supply, and in particular, GMOs. And you could marry the GMO organism, which has an open-faced gene envelope. And if anyone's been following the research, one of the dangers on GMOs is because the GMO envelope is open, making it susceptible to host organisms such as viruses, diseases, cancers. And the fact that Roundup, one of the chief products of Monsanto in this endeavor, contains glyphosate, the potential for cancer is just, you know, extraordinary. But back to the point of mind control, could these food particles that are GMO-oriented, because of the open gene envelope, be able to attach themselves to the cell membrane and incorporate it and take it over? And yeah, then Dave, could you have an electronic transducent created through HARP, Project HARP, which we know can affect mood from satellite communications, over-the-horizon radar effects, electronics, and using the chemtrails as another conducting agent to transmit signals to these particles. Now, this is the theories that I've been talked to about by some of my insider sources. And I have to tell you, it's still controversial. But I will also tell you, as someone who has a fair amount of knowledge about how the human brain works, given my academic background, it makes perfect sense to me. Circumstantially, Doug, if someone put a gun to my head and said, yes or no, is this true? I would have to, at this point, say, this is true. And if they haven't fully developed it, they're right on the cusp.
You are correct. It is the Food and Drug Administration Safety and Innovation Act, Section 1125, called Information Technology, where it states that a milestone and a completion date for developing and implementing a comprehensive information technology strategic plan to align information technology systems, modernizing projects with strategic goals of Food and Drug Administration. And it goes on to say that these goals are, what they want to do is the way the Food and Drug Administration plans to describe their goals and monetize their projects is to finalize these studies that they're doing through technology systems through the FDA. And what they're going to do is integrate information technology systems into the food. And just like you said, and it goes on, if you read, as I said, it's the FDASIA Act, Section 1125. And in the milestones, it lists here that they're going to develop and implement a information technology plan to align the information technology systems with the strategic goals of the FDA, And this includes nanotechnology. And this is also includes, we'll take it a step further, medicine. There are nanotechnology in the medicine that we take, whether any prescription medicine. This is, it has been the law since 2013.
You are so on the money. Let me digress just for a minute because I think this is a major point. In fact, I gave an interview just today to a local, small local newspaper here, and they came to see me at my lunch, and they wanted 10 minutes of my time, and we ended up talking for 45. And here's where the thrust went. Aren't you upset about GMOs and the fact that they don't have to label their foods? Yes, I have a right to know what goes into my body. Aren't you upset that there isn't any verifiable, scientifically replicable research that demonstrates product safety, when in fact, actually, the short list of studies that have been done, like the Seralini study, show that when you feed nothing but GMOs to rats, by the time they get to puberty, they're hauling around tumors on the floor that are as big as the bodies. So we should be very concerned about GMOs and their secrecy, and GMOs and the fact that we don't know what's going into our body or what the effects truly are. And for a long time, I thought, well, this is just a depopulation agent, the open gene envelope I just mentioned, and glyphosate, like in Roundup, that causes cancer, that opens the person up for cancer, and they want to increase the cancer rates. It's a depopulation project. I think that's probably part of the agenda, because we know the globalists don't do things with a singular goal in mind. But I also think, guys, that what we're looking at here is the bigger reason why they don't want research done, why they don't want to be labeled, is because of what Joe and I were just talking about. I don't think they want researchers like myself to stumble upon their mind control aspects with regard to GMO applications.
You're exactly right. Henry Kissinger, State Memorandum 200, 1974, talks about removing nutrients from food to the point of starving people, even though they'll have, you know, they could eat all day. And we're seeing this exactly happen today.
You know, I used to lecture on this when I used to give stress seminars, and I talked about diet and health, and I said, really limit your fast food intake, because it's very high in calories and very low in nutrients, so you could actually be a starving fat person.
Yep.
And this is what I used to advise people on how to manage your stress and getting control, you know, of that aspect. And you're talking about the same thing now, Joe, across the entire food supply.
You know, at the Hear the Watchman conference, Josh Tully and I were sitting at the speaker's dinner across from each other, and my wife was talking to who he was with, and she said that the studies she's done show that a salad 20 years ago, you'd have to eat 25 of today's salads to equal a salad nutritional value of 25 years ago.
It's not unlike what the Nazis did to Jews in the concentration camps where they worked on the German war machine. They would have these people work 6 month, 1 year, 2 year tours of duty, but they would systematically starve them to death by gradually withdrawing nutrients and calories. I believe this is what's happening to us.
You know what? Let me just jump in here and ask you this. If they're so intent on doing this, why the slow, long, agonizing death? Why not just, I don't know, turn the lights out, EMP, something sudden?
Well, I have some real strong feelings on this, Doug. I think that the reason they don't is we're witnessing the last great American garage sale, where they want to profit on our demise over a period of time. We still are useful to them at some level, but not necessarily in the long term. Also, too, the way that you harden resistance, I'll give you an example. I watched a documentary last night on the History Channel, and just kind of flipping around, going to see the news, and happened on the Battle of the Bulge, and these 28 men were stranded behind enemy lines. Their units pulled out, didn't tell them, and they had to wander around for about 2 weeks. And there were thousands of Germans around them, and they found evidence of other POWs that had been captured, and systematically tortured and executed. And what happened with these men, they said, we're going to die. We're going to shoot the last bullet in our chamber. We are never going to give up. And they basically became like commando raiders, like army rangers, and they did hit and run tactics. They stole German weapons, and they survived for 2 weeks, but they were determined after like the massacre at Malmedy and the Battle of the Bulge, they were never going to give up. Well, I don't think that the globalists are coming after us for the same reason, with this hardened approach at this point in time, for the same reason. They don't want to thicken our resolve. They don't want us to stand up in mass, in unison, like the country is beginning to do behind Donald Trump. They don't want to see that, so it's easier just to get rid of us covertly while they profit on our demise.
Okay. And that does make sense. And you know, that dovetails with many articles and many reports, really not articles, but reports that you've got on your website and have had on for a number of years. You know, it caught my attention last week about, the report, the Joint Publication 313.2, the Military Information Support Operations, where you said don't doubt the existence of FEMA camps. And you know, I know that we're kind of talking in I guess I'm kind of digressing here, but the bottom line is, we're talking about the enslavement of the population, but not just the enslavement. I mean, not just the physical enslavement, but the spiritual enslavement as well as the physical, but also, as you said, kind of the great garage sale kind of thing, but not unlike the German concentration camps as well. I mean, think about that mindset. This is what we're seeing, that mindset. That it's a consistent golden thread through all of the techniques and motives and means that they're doing right now. It's crazy. I mean, it's horrible. Okay.
It's so disheartening.
Yeah.
It's so discouraging that we're looked upon with such low regard. On a base level, Doug, what we're seeing, and this is what I described for these two reporters I met with today, on a base level, it's the corporations versus the people, and the corporations are using the power of government through legalized bribery called campaign donations to basically have their way with the people with regard to things like free trade agreements, sucking millions of jobs out of the country, illegal immigration, because you can't send all the jobs out of the country, then you send people in to undercut the wage and price structure, to destroy the American economy, deculturize the United States as a result. We're seeing all these things transpiring, and the corporations are doing this because they're making major money.
Right.
But at a higher level than the corporations, the guys who sit in the back, remember the old X-Files show where they had this secret cabal that would meet to plan out the world's agenda and how they would run TV and how they'd run the corporations? Well, the people that do that, I call them the bastards from Basel, pardon the expression, Basel being referenced to the top level rung of international banking. When they sit around and have their meetings, this is where these agendas come from. The depopulation agendas to get us down to basically 10% of what we are in current levels, that comes from that level. And they get the corporations, their marching soldiers to carry this out, and the corporations use their money to control government, to use the force of the police and the military and so forth to force compliance upon us. And that's really where we're at right now. In fact, this election cycle right now, I'm going to assume for the sake of argument, and I have reservations about saying this, that Donald Trump is sincere. For the first time since 1968, when America reached its high water mark with manufacturing and exports, and then we started to go the other way, for the first time, we're having an honest dialogue and an honest debate, as much as the mainstream media that's controlled by the corporations will let us, about who's going to run government. Is it going to be run by the people? So therefore, you put a 35% tax on products leaving the country and then coming back in, so you keep them from leaving the country. That's the Trump proposal. Or are you going to let the corporation say, it's free trade, we'll make money, it'll trickle down, and we know it doesn't trickle. And as a result, whose agenda is going to be fulfilled? That's what this is about right now. This is why there's so many dirty tricks being played. Bernie Sanders, on one hand, is a thorn in Hillary Clinton's side. I don't endorse his solutions. They're as far out to lunch as they could be. I used to be a liberal when I was really, really young, and then I realized when I got to be about 21, I couldn't afford to be a liberal and save the world. But Bernie Sanders is doing a good job of problem identification. Trump is doing a really good job of problem identification. Hillary Clinton is status quo. We know that Ted Cruz, with his wife Heidi, who was instrumental in the creation of the North American Union, called the Security, Peace, Prosperity, SPP. She was instrumental in NAFTA. She was a regional head of the Council on Foreign Relations, a regional vice president of Goldman Sachs. I mean, Ted Cruz is sleeping with the enemy of the American people, and he's been there right along with her. And then, of course, you know, Kasich was part of the system. Certainly Rubio, before he dropped out, he's part of the system. We really have narrowed issues right now. This is an election year that defines everything we're talking about, whether it's mind control or GMOs or free trade agreements. But, guys, here's the beautiful thing about this election cycle. Donald Trump has managed to do in 6 months what all of us in the independent media, and we have some extremely talented people in the independent media, but he's done more in 6 months than we've done in the 10 years I've been in this business.
Okay.
In terms of waking people up.
Right. And I want everyone to think about that, because that's an important, very important concept for people to understand.
Right, and you have to start somewhere, and Trump is starting on that basic right-left paradigm.
Well, see, there's going to be a civil war, guys.
Thank you. My source is a couple of years ago, and you and I spoke. We have different sources saying the same thing. And you got mocked, I got mocked, everyone got mocked about this. Look, the civil war is coming. A war is coming. Oh, no. You're just fear porn, doom porn. It's all BS. Look at where we're at today, man. And you make a great point about this. How's this going to play out? Because I got some feelings that I want to bounce off you.
Here's the American people. They know for a long time things have been wrong. We have adults, 40-year-old adults, working at 2 and 3 jobs where their parents didn't need to do that to survive. Mm-hmm. And they know it. And they're getting squeezed on all ends. Government's irresponsible. I ask people who support Obama, I tell them, you obviously must not be in the middle class. Well, why do you say that, Dave? Because you couldn't name me one thing that man has done to help you in the middle class. Not one. There's not one thing we can point to. In fact, I can give you about 1,000 things he's done that has undermined you in the middle class. And people are frustrated. They're angry. See, I don't think Donald Trump's a great leader. I don't think he's a good political leader. I think he's mediocre at best. But he's the right man at the right time, filling a vacuum where people are saying, we want somebody, and he just happens to be the right man at the right time. And I will tell you this, he will not be the president. We can go through all those scenarios if you want. I've kind of worked them out in articles where I think this could be heading. He will not be the president. I doubt seriously he'll get the nomination. In fact, I'd almost be willing to bet my mortgage on it. But Donald Trump has already helped the American people win the presidential election because he has awakened so many people. And in the few months we got left before we get to the Republican primary, those numbers are going to increase exponentially. We have reached critical mass in terms of awareness in this country. And we have average people listening to me talk about these things in ways they never would have 2 years ago. People are awake now, and not 50%. Probably, I would guess, anywhere between 25 to 35% of the people are awake. But that's critical mass, because this goes 2-3 more months. That could end up reaching maybe 50, 60%, and then the other side has a real problem. And I don't care who's elected president, you have already got the mindset that we're not putting up with this crap anymore. It's kind of a hell no, we won't go. Only the modern mindset is not about just going to Vietnam and winning an illegal war, or getting out of an illegal war, I should say. It's about now about being able to feed your family, have a roof over your house, be free from the terrorists that you're importing into the country while you call them immigrants. This is what has people's attention today. They don't want millions of jobs leaving the country. People know and they remember that in the 1960s, Detroit had the highest standard of living in North America. It was a model city of 2 million people. Today, we're tearing down entire neighborhoods. The population has shrunk to 700,000. Detroit police stations frequently close at 5 o'clock and they don't come out for anything major. The city services are terrible. There's lead in the water. And this is because of the free trade agreements, and people are finally realizing that they shouldn't just be talking about NFL free agents. They should be talking about free trade agreements. And this is what's happened in our country. And I have, this is spreading like smallpox or like Ebola. I've never seen, Doug, the people waking up this fast with people who would have rejected my message even 6 months ago. They now want to hear more, and they can't get enough of what I'm telling them. And the revolution in the mind is already happening. Karl Marx says before there's a revolution against the corrupt establishment, you must have a shift in consciousness. And I submit the shift in consciousness is already well underway, and it's too late for CNN and Fox to put this genie back into the bottle.
Amen. Look, folks, go to thecommonsenseshow.com. Read The Undeniable Reasons Why Civil War is Near. I must say I agree with each and every one of them. I agree with you. I agree with, it's just a matter. You said a number of things here. We got to talk. Trump will never be president. You said that, right?
Yes.
I believe that as well. My wife looked at me when I said that today and she said, "You've lost your mind." And I said, "Why?" Because here's the thing. He needs, just delegate count wise, they're changing the rules on him. He won't get the majority of delegates. They're going to change the rules and throw someone else in there. That's one scenario. And there are less.
Can we talk about that for a second?
Sure.
Because people say, "I don't see how they can do that, Dave. He has the most." Well, let me address this just for a second. You know, Curley, I don't know who calls himself Curley, who has a position of responsibility in the Republican Party, but he was speaking to a number of people. In fact, I saw one interview he did with Sean Hannity on Fox on one of the Super Tuesdays, and he said, "You know, don't count Trump in." He said, "The people aren't making the decision. We are." Hello?
Hello? Well,
why the hell are we voting? That was my first reaction to that. Why are we voting? But the Democrats are doing the same thing. And a lot of people don't realize that, but they have super delegates at in Louisiana that had pre-pledged to Hillary Clinton. So here you have Bernie Sanders going to Louisiana. He wins about 75% of the vote, and he's not even walking away with a lion's share of delegates when it comes to the convention because they were pre-pledged to Hillary Clinton. Well, then why did the people in Louisiana vote? It's the same thing. And what the establishment's doing is what they do when they choose the chairman of the Federal Reserve Board. And what they do is this. The Federal Reserve submits five names to the president. They have to choose from Federal Reserve people. And so out of that, he gets to pick one of the five. Well, what the Republicans and Democrats are doing now to the people, and this is going to help create a revolution too, is what they're telling the people is, "We don't care what you say. We don't care how you vote. You mean nothing. Shut up. Sit down. We will tell you who the vice president or the presidential candidate will be, the vice presidential candidate for both parties. You have no say. You choose from our people." And our people are the ones that are friendly to the corporations. You know, the ones that have been screwing you for the last 30 years with free trade agreements? That's what you're going to take. And that's what's going on. Now, when you get to the Republican convention this summer, they're doing away with a rule that says you have to have won 8 states to be considered on the first ballot.
Yes.
The only ones who will have won 8 states will be Lion Ted Cruz and Donald Trump. But I can tell you who the candidates are going to be. On January 30th, and I published this in an article on the Common Sense Show, still in the carousel, Mitt Romney and Paul Ryan registered to run for president.
People are not going to believe that, but it's right there, folks.
I put the document inside the article.
Yep.
It's a government document, and I hypertext linked it. So it's double sourced. So the naysayers that go to Snopes, and Snopes, they buy that disinfo from Snopes, they can say, well, am I going to believe Snopes or am I going to believe my lying eyes? And I'm mentioning Snopes because Snopes said that was a bunch of crap, but I double-sourced it.
Yeah, exactly. I have traced, because of you, and folks, I just want to make this clear. A lot of thoughts that Joe has been working on and I've been working on, Dave Hodges has been working on as well. You know, when we had a conversation last week, he had said a number of things, including touched on this, but how, you know, we're looking at this, I'm looking at this and thinking, how can this possibly be? But you're right. This is all, we're being gamed. I mean,
and what you said, Dave, about the, you know, the delegates, that's one thing. The delegates are supposed to be, you know, this is part of being a representative republic, not a democracy. But in the 2000 election, presidential election, Bush versus Gore, there was a confusion. And I remember this because I was in my senior high school year, and we took, I think that was the year I took the political class. Well, Al Gore won the majority of the citizen vote.
Well, the popular vote, right?
The popular vote. And I learned then that the popular vote is not relevant to an extent. Now, they're taking it a step further with Trump here, to the point where they're actually changing the rules. And they did this to Ron Paul to an extent. They changed the venues. They changed, you know, the ability for people to become delegates. But now they're just straight out changing the rules of the primary process. And a GOP insider last week came out and said, your vote does not count.
That's one scenario, though, right, Dave? I mean,
I think that's the only scenario.
Okay.
I think that's how it's going to play out. I don't see a scenario where Trump wins unless he has 1237. And even if he has 1237, they undoubtedly have tricks up their sleeves. I mean, they're jetting in 60 globalists to meet with top politicians routinely. They have these strategy meetings. How do we get rid of this guy? They're not going to let it happen. And I will tell you, you mark this down and take it to the Bank of America, even if enough Republicans stand up and stop the process, stop the illegalities, stop the fraud, Trump would be a dead man coming out of the convention. I just want to remind everybody of Robert Kennedy. Don't run, Bobby. Your voters are too young. They don't care about you. They're 18 years old. This is when the voting age was still 21. And he kept winning and kept winning. And he dropped hints he was going to open his brother's murder investigation or reopen it. He was going to get us out of Vietnam. Well, that's what got his brother in part killed himself. So what does he do? He wins the Democratic nomination in California, and at 10 minutes after, not even 10 minutes, 5 minutes after his acceptance speech, he's dead.
That's right.
And this is exactly what they're going to do. In fact, let me just remind people of the three major assassinations the last time we were at a crossroads in American history like we are right now. You had the death of John Kennedy, allegedly killed by Lee Harvey Oswald, a man with a diary. And then you had Martin Luther King, who I've been told was killed as a killing of warning to Bobby Kennedy. He was killed 3 months before Bobby. And also Martin Luther King was against the Vietnam War because a disproportionate number of black people were being drafted and sent to Vietnam. And so it was a racial issue for Martin Luther King. And then you had who killed Martin Luther King? Oh, James Earl Ray. And what did he have? He had a diary saying what he was going to do. And then, of course, we have Bobby Kennedy killed by Sharon Tehran, who had a diary. Look for Donald Trump to be assassinated by a man with a diary. In fact, I remember sitting, you know, my dad was naval intelligence, and I remember sitting there, and we were watching the Tomorrow Show on TV with Tom Snyder.
Oh, yeah.
And they had on a guy who claimed to be from the CIA, and they blacked out his face and modulated his voice, and he said, well, whoever killed John killed Martin and killed Bobby, and it was the same MO each time. And I looked at my dad, I said, think that's true? He goes, unquestionably. He said, we used to laugh about how stupid and how low level the cover stories were. And I said, why would they do that? And he said, those were message killings. It's kind of like today what we'd call the pillowcase over Justice Scalia's face. It was a message killing. That's why they were so sloppy about it. They wanted people to know, if you step out of line, we can get to you, we can get to anyone, anytime, and stop your agenda. And that's what Trump is going to face. And if Trump is a sincere candidate, and I can give you 10 reasons why he's not, but let's assume he's a sincere candidate, Trump may be one of the most courageous men in American history. Because he has to know. His advisors have had to point out to him the very things that I've just told you guys. Trump is a marked man, and I think if he's going to live to a ripe old age and enjoy his retirement with his beautiful wife, he needs to be defeated in the primary process. I don't see him surviving the lame duck. But let's assume he survives lame duck. Okay, he comes out of, he's waiting to get killed, and he doesn't get killed. That's what I mean by lame duck here. So he cruises from August to November, and he defeats Hillary in the election, assuming you can overcome the Diebold voting machine fraud. Let's project into his presidency now. People think happy days are here again because Donald Trump is elected. Wrong. Who does he have to work with? He has to work with congressmen on both sides of the aisle who are in office because of corporate campaign bribes we call donations. The only way that Donald Trump, in my estimation, if he can overcome all these firewalls that are in his way to become president, but the only way that he can get anything done as president is to make campaign contributions a national and local voting issue, to where he tells the voters, this is why you're in the mess you're in. Congress is owned. They're owned by the corporations. And if you need to tell your congressman, you need to tell your city councilman, your mayor, your governor, your state legislator, that if they take one dime of corporate money, you will vote out the incumbent. And then you also need to make them pledge before they run for re-election to make it a Class A felony to try to influence election with corporate money. Then you would have a responsive Congress, because in that first two-year period, when you get to the midterm election, you would have the entire House of Representatives up for re-election. You'd have one-third of the Senate. He could make a heck of a dent in this process, and the other two-thirds of the Senate that wasn't up for election would probably acquiesce out of the peer pressure that would be involved and the intense media scrutiny. Now, I think before Trump would be allowed to do that, if he was still alive, he wouldn't be after this. Because let's look at what the corporations have. They can send our jobs anywhere in the world. They can bankrupt any of us. They can control our diet, our thoughts, our money, our lifestyle, take away our civil liberties. And they're making major bank on this the entire time they're doing it, in what I call the last American garage sale. They're not going to give this up. They're going to do what they got to do to stay in power. They've worked too hard. I mean, if we go back to the Payne-Aldrich tariff debate in the Taft administration over 100 years ago, free trade was an issue then, coming out of the Spanish-American War and preceding World War I. But things kept getting derailed. Then you had the Rockefellers start the Council on Foreign Relations in the 1920s with the same goal. They tried to hoodwink us into the League of Nations, which was going to be a supranational organization to circumvent national sovereignty. Thank God for the congressmen and the senators who rejected that World War I treaty and rejected the League of Nations. And then they finally had their way after World War II with the United Nations. And then we see the creation of such groups as the Trilateral Commission, the Bilderbergers in the 50s. It's just been one concentrated move after another to get us in line. And they have raped the resources of this country. In fact, Doug, let me just say this real quick, because I think this is really important to know. In 1945, when we came out of World War II, we were the only nation, major nation, that was unscathed. France and Germany and most of Europe were in ruins. And you had Japan and a lot of China, they were in ruins. And the lone remaining nation was the United States. And we had 50% of the world's gross national product with only 5% of the population. We had 90% of all automobiles and telephones. And it was amazing. We dominated the world. And not only that, because of the Bretton Woods Conference, any industrializing nation that wanted oil had to first buy dollars from us to go do it. And that made that old saying, "It's sound as a dollar," really mean something, because our dollar was on pretty solid ground at that time. But then the corporations realized, I don't want to pay $20 an hour for a factory worker in Detroit plus benefits. It's better to go to Guadalajara, pay $3 an hour without any tariffs at all, and we have free trade agreements, and now they're making even more money. Does this sound like a group that's going to let go of this because Donald Trump's come along?
Well,
go of what they have killed for, destroyed countless lives, put above country, put above people, neighbors, brothers, family.
Christ.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, and our email is blowing up right now, just at what you're saying, from preach it to right on, and no one is talking about what you're talking about. No one's reporting on what you're reporting about, or it's very limited. So I've got to give you an attaboy. But so are we to understand? I mean, in your scenario, wow, you just covered like a whole program here.
Well, let me throw in one more monkey wrench.
Oh, go ahead.
Okay, this is U.S. history according to Dave Hodges, but it's accurate. From a period in this Sociology 101 book I taught from, written by a guy named Hensley, he has a chart in there, the worth of the dollar. And it's such a telling chart, and he doesn't really tell you why, but if you know your history, you know why. From 1800 to 1913, with a few dips and a few up and downs and a few recessions and a depression, in that time, the dollar was still worth a dollar after 113 years. And then we had the Federal Reserve boys come in, and it was the third attempt. The Federal Reserve is actually the third national bank. First National Bank died a natural death. Washington made a mistake by listening to Hamilton. Madison and Jefferson were right, and they marshaled enough public opinion. The First National Bank went away, and then the Second National Bank was forced upon Andrew Jackson by the globalists of the day, the Rothschild family and so forth. They even tried to assassinate him, and he stood his ground. He took all the money out of the federal coffers and put them in the State Bank of Maryland and made their national bank, the Second National Bank, die a natural death. And then you have the Third National Bank, which we call the Federal Reserve, and they finally got it done. And they got better at it as they went. And a dollar was worth a dollar until 1913. Today, that dollar is worth 3 cents. That's right. What these globalists have done to us. They have sucked the life out of American productivity. And the free trade agreements did the same thing on steroids. I mean, it grew, the rate of the rape of the American people grew exponentially as a result of this. We used to support our government on tariffs and excise taxes. We did not have a national income tax until 1913. Now, how was it that America, which had already turned into an industrial giant in the 1880s, 1890s, early 1900s, how was it we could support this massive expanding country with no income tax? Well, that's because we didn't have deficit spending. We were on the gold standard. And, of course, the globalists worked to get us off the gold standard, and Roosevelt finally did it for them in 1932 and made it illegal to own gold. We don't need to have a national income tax. But, see, the globalists were working towards, what were they working towards? They were working towards free trade back in the early 1900s. Yes. They didn't want taxes on tariffs, because they knew after the Spanish-American War, when they got Guam and the Philippines and this and that, they could have people make their products cheaper. And they knew this.
Not only
and
that.
They've tried all this time to get it done, and finally, under H.W. and then Bill Clinton, they got NAFTA in. And I was talking about this when it happened. I'm not even an economist. This is what's embarrassing for this country. My academic background, psych, social research, stats. That's my academic background. I am not an economist. But I looked at NAFTA, and I said, why in the hell are we taking the tariffs off of imports? This is encouraging these corporations to go overseas. We're going to lose millions of jobs. And my wife reminded me that I said that, and I was upset about that back in the early 90s. I, don't understand, Doug, how we could be so stupid. And then what was a lie they told us? By the time that George W. got into office, he's saying, well, we don't believe in protectionism. Yeah, we don't believe in protecting the American people is what he's saying. And besides, we don't have to worry about manufacturing any longer, like we're never going to fight another war and need prolonged manufacturing of war goods. We're going to become a knowledge economy, whatever that was. This is how we got to where we are. We don't even need an income tax. If we put tariffs on the products coming in, China would be building up our economy all by themselves.
Right. Right. But see, people don't get that. And ladies and gentlemen, this is why we need to look back in history. Well, okay, so is this why we're not hearing much about the TPP? I mean, what's your feeling about the TPP? Is
that
relevant?
Where's that gone?
Exactly.
Yeah, Megyn Kelly has developed selective amnesia.
Sorry.
TPP was good. I talked about it with my pretty blonde hair and smiling blue eyes. TPP is good. Now that Donald Trump's on the free trade agreements, we can't let people know the TPP is another free trade agreement that makes NAFTA look like it's calm and our friend.
Right.
I mean, the TPP destroys the power of the federal government. It destroys the power of the Supreme Court to enforce the Constitution and to protect our civil liberties. They don't want that out there. Not now. Not with what Trump is doing.
Mm. If I can, I want to quote this. This is from a paper from 1994, I believe. Actually, later than that. This is from Richard Haass. This paper is titled World Bank Seminar Series Global Issues Facing Humanity. And it says, in a recent article in Foreign Policy magazine, Richard Haass, president of the CFR in New York, wrote the following. 35 years from now, sovereignty will no longer be a sanctuary. Powerful new forces and indigenous threats will converge against it. Nation states will not disappear, but they will share power with larger number of powerful non-sovereign actors, including corporations, non-governmental organizations, terrorist groups, and drug cartels. Goes on to say that the regional and global institutions, banks, private, will fall victim, as well as sovereignty, to the powerful and acceleration of flow of ideas, people, goods, dollars, drugs, viruses, and so on and so on. And it goes on to say that these same forces will change the concept of sovereignty in a whole range of global issues, ushering in a system of global governance under which it states, under the system of global governance, number one, as I make my way down here, that in order to do this, you need to make international agreements. And this is what you talked about. International treaties signed by countries and corporations in order to set up a... We can't have one nation, you know, that is super rich and the rest of the nations that are poor, they're saying this is the solution to global poverty.
Well, yeah, they've got to take us down to the third world status while mm-hmm. raising other, enrich other people, but other countries. But the bottom line is this blueprint is now, what you've spoken about, what you've written about for the last 10 years, and I tell Steve Quayle this all the time. I mean, he was right 20 years ago. He's even more right today, and people,
yes.
You know, people are just catching up to what you've written about and what you've spoken about. And now people are saying, wow, this is real. And now I think they're looking at this with a doe in the headlights look, saying, what are we doing about this? But, okay, this is crazy. We're almost at the top of the hour. We've got so many emails saying that this is incredible information that you've uncovered. People looking at your various reports on your website, thecommonsenseshow.com. I got to tell you this. One of the most chilling photographs, I think, on your website, or on your within your articles, is the one where you have Trump, his picture next to the Kennedy car. Something about that just really sent a chill up my spine when I saw that was under your recent stories.
It was an intended message. Hey, let me ask Joe a real quick question if we have time. Joe, that piece that you just read me about nation states' relationship to corporate power, when was that written?
Let me see here.
That was by Richard Haass, and I think
that was a quote from Richard
And
Haass.
I'd really like to talk about that when we come out of the break. That's a whole mindset I think that people need to understand. It's a guiding way of thinking for where we're going, and I think it's real important that we cover that.
Okay, here I have this. It's I don't know when it was written. It's not dated. It is the World Bank Seminar Series, Global Issues Facing Humanity, by Dr. Vinay, Director of International Affairs at the World Bank.
Okay, I'm going to guess he wrote that in the 90s.
Yeah, it sounds like the 90s.
Justification of NAFTA and so forth is what it sounds like to me.
But they have citations from the 2000s, early 2000s also.
Okay, all right. So I'm off a few years.
I'll send this off to you.
Yeah, it's very interesting. I'm familiar with the concept. I've never heard that document per se. But I think when we come out of the break, we should probably talk about a movie that was made in 1975 called Rollerball.
We'll be right back, folks, with Dave Hodges. Stay with us.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.